good morning. Honorable City Minister, honorable members, senior members of the department, good morning. I think we are going to start our meeting. From my side, I would like to welcome the Deputy Minister and all the members for performance. Minister, it's indeed a privilege to have you here. We know that you have a busy schedule, and therefore we appreciate that you really make time to come to this meeting. Thank you very much. Before I'm going to give you a minute or two to say something, small remark or what you want to say input, I'm going to ask the committee to introduce themselves, thereafter the department will introduce them, and so to ask then after this if everyone else in the meeting can introduce themselves. I'm Ellen Prince, I am the chairperson of the committee. Over to you, Linda.
Good morning, fellow members. My name is Ulisi Lesapal. I'm a member of this committee and I'm from the Northwest. Thank you very much.
Good morning, members. I'm Kathy Lutzkowski. I'm a member of this committee and I'm a communication tech. Good morning. My name is Bridget. I'm from the committee.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Bridget Smith. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marga Aikhai. I'm from the city. I hope you're from us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Onya. I'm from the city.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mahmoud Mansour. I'm from the city.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michelle and I'm from Dios. I'm from Diamond Coast in the Northern Cape.
Yeah,
Thank you, the official. The officials of department and minister. Can, so is the deputy minister going to read it or?
One of the members, my name is David Muscle.
morning, members. My name is Eric Postcard. I'm the Cornell Advisor for the Community.
Good morning. I'm Colette Zilane. I'm a Senator for the Community.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Elaine Onponani, and I'm the founding advisor for the Portfolio Prevention on Advocacy Foundation.
Good morning, members. I'm
Elia McCann,
and I'm the
director of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you very much. I think now that we know each other, it will work better. We can put a face by the name. But me, I'm not so, you know, good with that thing. I'm very confused about names. We did receive apologies, and I think that the deputy minister already addressed two apologies, one for the minister of science and technology, and one for the director general. Can we go over to the input for the input to the deputy minister? Deputy minister, you can address us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. It is my pleasure to present the Department of Science and Technology, 2014 2016 annual performance year to you, our ladies, able to assist by the perspective of the department. This plan is aligned with the National Development Plan, which, as you know, is not only a broad classification of the country of what to be by 2021, but more specifically, it enjoins us to address the challenges of poverty in the country. Unemployment and lack of skills development that are tackled of the DAC, the critical skills challenge. The National Development Plan recognizes science, technology, and innovation as some of the key drivers of our nation's socioeconomic development. For this reason, it explicitly says the following, and I quote: development in science and technology are fundamentally altering the way people live, connect, communicate, and transact, with profound effects on economic development. Science and technology are key to development because technological and scientific revolution underpin economic advances, improvements in health systems, education, and infrastructure. It also says that innovation is the final driver of technological growth and drives higher yields. In particular, the National Development Plan states that South Africa's competitiveness will rely on national systems of innovation, permeating the culture of business and development. It emphasizes continuous innovation and learning as essential ingredients to the success of the country, and that needs to become part of the national action. This will require intervention at all levels, from the schooling and tertiary education system through the shop floor behavior, R&D spending and commercialization. How do we respond to the challenges of the national intervention? In this regard, the Department has developed strategic interventions and will continue to develop, reflect, and assess the impact of the intervention. Consistent with the vision of the national development, the Department of Science and Technology 2014-2015 and the Commission represents a consistent effort by the Department to position the country's science, technology, and innovation system as an important contributor to social and economic development. As one of the members of the CX Committee made aware, in the last decade, the Department has invested considerable resources in laying down the policy framework for research and development, a process that CX Committee contributed to quite significantly. This involves significant investment in high-level human resource development and research development and innovation infrastructure, as well as setting up an institutional framework that enables us to use the results of our research and development investments as inputs into industrial development, public sector innovation,
and college education. In the coming year, we intend to continue working with our key partners in the public, private, and national sector, as well as the international community, to recognize our contribution to achieving our country's development goals. With your invaluable support and that of our partners, some of the key achievements of the government include the following. In the area of the space science, and more specifically, astronomy, we work relentlessly to support the space of the Array Bradley Telescope, together with other African partners for planetary Kenya, Madagascar, Mauritius, Mozambique, Namibia, and Zambia. As a sequence to the FKA, the first of the 64 MECAS antenna was completed and launched. The MECAS will be integrated into the microsensor component of phase one of the space lunar array. In addressing the challenge of human capital development, the department focuses on effort, research, scholarship, and innovation, each of which is aligned with different stages in the development of a research career. Towards this end, in the field of 2014, we supported 9,772 postgraduate students, support from many researchers so far in 43, research grants awarded to 1,238 black and 120 female graduates. Support towards established research included the establishment of 62 new research chairs, the five new centers of excellence, in addition to more than 3,500 researchers who received research grants. We are also currently supporting 33 science centers. These are facilities which we use to interact and hand on engaging with public, especially the youth. The science centers address four key priorities, that is promotion of science literacy, educate career awareness promotion, nurturing youth talent for equity career development, science and technology curriculum support. We also have, in partnership with the National Research Foundation, five new centers of excellence were established at the University of Western Australia, Victoria, Connecticut, Stellenbosch, Western Bay, and KwaZulu-Natal. These centers will assist government to address several problems areas, including mining, childhood development, food security, energy security, and evidence-based decision-making. The department has invested 140 million rand per annum in this program. All information and communication has not been planned through the Technology for Global Development. The project is in Kotimbara, which is situated there, we handed out about 2,743 textbooks, packages, and mobile kits to them. The bioeconomic strategy was also approved by government, and we announced the implementation phase of the strategy. The launch of the National Record System for Indigenous Knowledge System in Moreland, in the Northwest. We implemented also the wireless network to improve access to information and communication technology. The more recently, we celebrated the 75th anniversary of a major scientific discovery named Kulakan off the coast of South Africa in February this year. The honorable members, these are some of our milestones. We also recognize that there is still much to be done, not only in enhancing our global competitiveness through science, technology, and innovation, but also to ensure that we transform this sector to be able to achieve some of the country's key national goals. The Deputy Director General Technology Innovation, Mr. Parker, will take you through the details of how the internal performance plan, together with the strategic plan that is being finalized, will play a role in this process. We will also put before you the budget quote, therefore. I now hand over to our Acting Director General, Mr. Parker.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Before giving over, can I just say I got to make also apology for myself. I had to leave at 12 for another commitment. If it is okay with you, but the honourable member will take over. And also, apology for member Robert Kachman. Okay. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. As I indicated, my name is Imran Patel. I'm the Deputy Director General for a program called Social Economic Innovation Partnerships, which shortly and to go through the presentation. We'll make it in terms of how we're starting to do what the Lord will do as an introduction to the community who may not be familiar with the Islam or science technologies, to share with you our vision, mission, and strategic goals, provide a strategic overview, and then go into each of the DSP course programs to get a sense of how those programs are organized and what they're working on. The list of achievements that the deputy has directed out of a bunch of those who mentioned they are on the already been highlighted. And then we go into the elected performance indicators and how this is coming from each year, and indication of the budget, and strategic issues that we're dealing with.
Sorry to interrupt the data questions.
Adesso è la sua studia di tutte le attività di questo municipio, per queste distanze, e quindi di farci stanno anche conti, grazie a presentarci con voi, stanno anche un'unione a che finisce il municipio e farci di realtà, e l'altra non sta la loro anche le carte di cui passo adesso, però è la studia di tutte le attività, la carne, le distanze,
thank you, Honorable Sari. I already spoken with the DG this morning, the electricity about time. So he's quite aware that they must push for time. Thank you.
I'm hoping that the presentation will be between 30 to 40 minutes, because I think a lot of people will come out with questions and answers. And then some mediation of finances, some key strategic issues that we're including in our strategic plan, and we are familiar, we are working on the next 2014 to 2019 strategic plan, and we've got a bit of an assessment of issues and challenges, and we're looking for that. Next slide. The vision of the economy is prosperous society that drives enduring and equitable benefits from science and technology. Our mission is to develop, coordinate, and manage a national system of innovation that will bring about maximum human capital, sustainable economic growth, and improve quality of life. Now, there's an important concept in that vision statement, which is the national system of innovation, and hopefully by the end of the presentation, members will have a better sense of where this comes from in terms of our policy portfolio. The basic strategic goals are fairly simple, but they are significant. The first is to develop the innovation capacity of the national system of innovation. The second key one is to enhance scientific knowledge generation capacity. The third is to develop appropriate high-level science, technology, innovation, and human capital to meet the needs of society, to build world-class science, technology, and innovation infrastructure, and then importantly, science, technology, innovation is our enterprise and our responsibility to position Electrica as a international research development and innovation partner in the destination. And hopefully in the presentation there will be some indication of our perception in this regard. Just a strategic overview, and then we can put the whole thing forward. Come across in terms of what we call the policy package of the Department of Science and Technology. Way back in 1996, we had the Science and Technology White Paper. At this time, countries all over the world were looking at how is it that they can advance their science and technology agenda for economic and social good. And part of this approach was to think of science and technology in a systematic way. And this is gained nationally. There were discussions around the concept of the national system of innovation, which essentially means the different players in the system, whether it's business, research agencies, universities, science councils, government, but also the kind of policy instruments and institutions that you put in place. All of these have to work together in order to achieve those social and economic benefits. And we have found that this concept of the national system of innovation is a very popular one to give guidance and to ensure that you have a directed agenda for science, technology and innovation. Following the science and technology white paper in 2002, because the white paper said, taking broad terms, the direction that we're going to. We needed to identify some key strategic areas that we need to push, particularly as government, in terms of technology is broad, and we need to determine ways that we can make more smart impact. What arose then through the R&D strategy is some identification of priority areas. Two types. One was what we call technology mission areas. And these were based on detailed work like foresighting, et cetera, things we can mention, people understand where the world of science, technology and innovation is going to be. And you can see that this was way back in 2002. And out of that process, we identified a number of areas that we need to champion based on biotechnology, ICT, advanced manufacturing, poverty alleviation, some of these areas that we need to. We also had a number of science mission areas where we looked at South Africa and said, South Africa has strong capabilities in certain areas, we need to strengthen that. And through that process, astronomy is an example, paleontology, the southern ocean, the study area, all emerged as priority areas where we need to be doing fundamental science and technology. That was part of the reason why there was a strong motivation for us also in the Astronomical Array. Not only as it has emerged now, it's not only an economy project, but it's a very powerful technology project that has a huge economic demand. But there's a time where it's identified as far as the area. In 2004, there was an important decision taken around how to make science, technology, innovation in the country. As you know, not all science councils report to the DSC. The science councils that report to the DSC will come later. But they are very focused science councils like Agricultural Research Council, MINTEC, the Council of Geoscience, the Medical Research Commission, etc., that belongs to their line function department. So this thing that we got there called a strategic management model outlined this responsibilities. Which are the science councils and areas that the DSC would be responsible for, what would be the responsibility of the line function department. We also identified in that strategic management model certain types of science and technology. Things like what we would call frontier science and technology, or type 1 areas, like nanotechnology, etc., is the full responsibility of the DSC to drive and champion. We have type 3 science and technology, which is very mature science and technology. It doesn't necessarily mean low tech, it could be very high tech, like weather services, or predicting weather, or due to these forensics, for example. There's no new science and technology inputs that needs to make in a strategic way. The science is mature, the technology is mature, and the environment needs to take this on board. And those are the responsibilities of the relevant functions. And then in type 2, there was a mixture of these things, and what the strategic management model highlighted was the need for the DSC to work very closely with the relevant functional funds. This model has been in place since 2004. We've done a recent review, and it's as part of the material review from the report, and there's a need to improve this model, make sure that the research is done in the mainland and doesn't get diluted. We then had an OECD review in about 2007. This was an external review by the OECD that looked at the performance of our national system of innovation. In general, the review was positive and we were on the right track. It had identified some areas we were lacking, and the department has taken those on board and integrated into further policy development, which includes the 10-year innovation plan, which we released in 2008. And what the 10-year innovation plan did is it built on the R&D strategy in terms of identifying much more specifically areas where we have an ability to build a knowledge-based economy. So we see five grand challenges, which I'll later. A bigger focus on human capital development, really looking at ways of accelerating our PhD production, and then creating two very important institutions that will allow us to take knowledge into products and services. These were the National Intellectual Property Management Office and the TIA, as you can see in the next block there. Those emerged as a result of the 10-year innovation. We also set up in 2009 the Palestinian National Space Agency to consolidate all of our space-related work. It's an important area of high science. And it has applications, which many can speak about, across the board, from human settlements, development to agriculture, to development, and so on, which has a strong space capability, is vital for other So I've covered some of this, so I'm not necessarily going to do that. I think I like this thing about the National System of Innovation. Importantly, we've also had a department that is in line with other countries in the world, where the focus of countries was not necessarily just on developing the kind of system, but to look at science, technology, and innovation more broadly, and that's what the management It also set up a kind of a national framework for the market and we will come to this next slide. So a few decades ago, innovation meant something closer to invention. Nowadays, innovation is about exploiting invention to social economic benefit, which is quite more than the science required in the world of other things. And as we go through some of our projects, hopefully you will see some of that. Next slide. So the NSI instead is a set of functional institutions, organizations, and policies which include them constructively in the pursuit of economic efficiency and economic growth and so forth. If we have the institutions, the organization, some of the key policies in trade, what is required now is to get the system to work most effectively to make the system work in order to achieve our mission of development plan objectives and goals. Next slide. The white paper also highlighted, you should see as a theme that comes up, the importance of leadership, coordination, and cooperation in making the NSI effective. Leadership in terms of setting the agenda, and as Deputy Minister highlighted, last year we took two very important strategy or roadmaps to cabinet, one on bioeconomy, one on ICT. That's part of giving leadership, identifying ways that we're going to coordination with regulators, with other government departments, with the private sector, et cetera, and cooperation in the The National Research and Development Strategy to look at how we can make an impact. And the blue bars and try to put in place a national framework for us to be able to look at the impact of our work. So we say that as part of our efforts, we need to make two major impacts. Either you can improve quality of life or you need to support our creation. In some instances, our creation is in quality of life goes in our name. The way we should do this is improving business performance, facilitating technical progress, and building human capital. Human capital in terms of future capabilities, but also current capabilities and important know-how. So if you look at the chart, there are issues at the bottom of this, which in a way our attempt to measure the kind of capabilities that we have. You can see there quite importantly, looking at our share of application, the number of PhDs, etc. And those are input measures. But taking this forward, we need to look at how these make an impact in terms of the advancement of every part of technology and influence to our space. How many of our industries or what portion of our economy is driven by knowledge? Are we a knowledge economy as defined by others? So that is a kind of a management framework that has guided us for the better part of the 12 years that we have been and as we fund projects, etc., we're always conscious of the green and the blue requirements. So it's not just about building capability, it's building capability in order to get to those kind of impact. And hopefully some of the projects that you can share with people will be good sense of this. Next one. The National Research and Development Strategy has the three pillars, innovation, human capital development, and government and coordination. Next one. Importantly, the National Research and Development Strategy also included a requirement for us to increase our expansion in research and development. At this time, it was below 1%. We looked at international examples, we looked at everywhere, just like South Africa, and concluded that in order to really drive our resources, we need to increase gross expenditure on research and development as a percentage of GDP. in essence, this means whatever the country generates as GDP, 1% of it should be spent on research and development. This was a cabinet approved budget. Other countries in the world have much more high targets, anything from 2.5% to 4% in the case of Korean Israel as an example. It's acknowledged as an important indicator globally of the kind of investment that is made available in research and development. This is not government expenditure, this is expenditure by all players in the system, but it's a private sector. Unfortunately, this target was a target for 2008. We did not achieve the target. R&D was increasing quite nicely until 2010, etc., before the economic crisis. We were getting to 1.1%, we were about 90% at one stage, and it had declined. The last available figure was 8.76. There is a more ambitious target that has been, is under consideration, and that's 1.5% by 2019, but it does require much more focus. I have spoken about the technology issues in transmission of the again, this was a kind of core context, and it has become more widely acknowledged, including the International Development Bank, which talks about more diversified economies. They say that if we want to move over a longer period of time, we need to not move away, completely away from resource-based economy. That's just not something that is doable. Mining will remain with us for a while, and those sources, etc. But increasingly, we need to increase the share of knowledge-based enterprises. This is where all developed world as they advance move into higher value-added resources. So they don't remain back for agriculture products, for mining products, and so on. And association will be part of exploiting our high technology knowledge. So that is the underlying philosophy that we will still be guided by many five-year things. So if you look at knowledge-based economy, it requires a few requires an architecture for innovation, as we call it. It needs institutions, it needs the funding arrangements, etc., that's able to take things forward, etc. It needs a very strong education system, human capital, is the basis of knowledge, of a knowledge economy, because knowledge is in the heads of people and you need to focus on it. It needs a strong information architecture that includes things like broadband connectivity and just making sure that people are connected. It needs an appropriate economic and institutional vision, and it needs to be connected. And yet, we are focusing all of these in a way. It's not all about responsibilities, so we work very closely with economic communications around information infrastructure as an example. We would work with the DTIMED around the economic and institutional regime to make sure that when we do things like local procurement, we benefit local technologies, we grow local technologies. So we work with the Department of Higher Education and Training and the DE on education and training. Next slide. This is the 10-year innovation plan, which I think tries to crystallize more clearly. Visual focus on technology development and innovation. They identify five priority areas: the bioeconomy, space science, energy, global change, the human social dynamics. And we identify the need to really accelerate our human capital development programs through things like the Center of Excellence, research share. But you can't do human capital without what you call knowledge infrastructure, without modern robotics facilities, without the kind of equipment you're not able to do. Knowledge infrastructure also includes infrastructure that is required for us to move promising technologies into commercialization, things like private science. And then underpinning this is very strong international cooperation. Telepathy contributes 1% of global knowledge. The other 99% you have to work with people to understand and be able to use it effectively, etc. And we have a very strong international cooperation program focusing not only on developed countries, but very strong African focus, the focus of the big countries. We work in multilateral forums as well, where we work with a number of other countries to do scientific and research work to benefit all of us, regional programs, and we have many examples. Next slide. So the alignment of government priorities, interests, Now just more to home. I guess this is kind of a sketch of where we are, and I hope that through the questions and answers from the team that we'll be able to be more details on it. This is just a question that's organized, there's the director general, and then we have five program in the CME chapter, but there's one program that has two parts to it. We have the DG responsible for institutional planning and support. As you will see from our budget, we have big entities under our mandate, for example, the CSR, the NRF, etc. These institutions need to be governed and to ensure that they follow the processes of finalizing shareholder contracts, etc. Ensure that they align to our requirements. That is the responsibility of our institution planning and support team, and when you're here, it's we have our corporate services division, and Novicello McMahon is the DG responsible for branch for technology innovation, the responsible DVD for it is Bolin Mureke. We have international cooperation and resources. The DG for that branch is Dan Detroit, who's not able to join us as well. We have a DG for research, development and support, focused on our human capital development program and for modernizing our infrastructure and for dealing with data sciences. The DG for that is Dr. Thomas Oppenheim, again, not able to join us. And then at the end there, the DDG for the Economic Innovation Partnership, and that's the branch that I'm responsible for. So quickly, what are these six programs and what do they do? Technology innovation. The purpose of the technology innovation branch is to enable research and development in strategic and emerging research areas. And a specific focus on relying on commercial products, processes, and services from research and development output. And they also manage what we call an enabling policy instrument, which includes the Technology Innovation Agency and the National Selection Policy Commission. So that's the responsibility of technology innovation. The area that they focus on specifically is the bioeconomy, implementing the bioeconomy strategy. They have a focus on hydrogen and energy, specifically, space science and technology. And then this is where it's for innovation policy and instruments, and that's part of the looking at ways in which we can facilitate innovation through centers of competence, commercialization frameworks, and the responsibility of the sub-program. And then we have the National Intellectual Property Management Office, which is a bit arm's length from the department. It's a specialized service to the unit because the time of legislation requires that kind of arm's length. But they're important to work for us. The international cooperation and resources unit is to strategically develop, promote, and manage international relations, opportunities in science and technology agreements that strengthens our own national system of innovation. These are very focused to our needs and requirements, and to enable an exchange of knowledge for technical resources between political and regional and international partners. We've been quite successful. So we have three units, international resources, multilateral cooperation in Africa, and then four teams bilateral cooperation that focuses on partner countries on a one-to-one basis. The research development purpose is to provide an enabling environment for research and knowledge production that promotes strategic development of data sciences and biology science areas through science promotion, related science centers, human capital development, particularly at the master's and PhD level. Supporting the provision of research infrastructure that can grow locally or even accessing research infrastructure that could be internationally because it's possible with ICT to do that now, to get access to international instruments and facilities and research. Next. There's the four program, human capital and science promotion, basic sciences and infrastructure, the science mission. And then because our economy portfolio is big and significant, particularly with respect to the range and other large investments, it is a specific focus area that we are introducing the socio-economic innovation partnerships program. This is a program that works. All programs of the ESC work with other government departments, but this program works where the executive portfolio is the incarnation of the government specifically, because the purpose is to enhance the growth and development policies of government body, as defined by the NDP. So that is science for knowledge-based innovation intervention and the development of strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry, research institutions, and communities. Next slide. We have three sub-programs. Focus on what we call sector innovation, working with key sectors of the economy, whether it's manufacturing or agriculture, etc., and the new focus on the green economy. We have a program that looks at innovation and inclusive development, the way in which innovations can work for the marginalized and the poor. And then we have a program that looks at science and technology investments, including some of our indicator work in our mission work, like the R&D survey, etc. Next slide. Some of the high-level achievements. If you look at our human capital development, this one is a successful part of the ESG. And thanks to the support of the portfolio committee and national trade, etc., we've been able to see how inflation increases on our budget over time. It needs to continue for many, many years to come because we're starting from a low base. But that has enabled us to support a lot more post-graduate students over time. As you can see, since 2009-10, we were looking at about 5,000. We now close to 10,000, almost doubled by 2015. That's significant because as countries have found out more knowledge-based activities, you create more opportunities for success. The PhD for learning population has also been increasing steadily. Global benchmarks in other countries are looking at 100 PhDs per million, 200 PhDs per million, etc. We were looking at about 22 a few years back, and we've now grown that again a half ago, which is the most recent data, to about 30. The National Development Plan sets out a target of 100 PhDs per million population by 2030. So it means that we need to triple the amount of PhDs, and people need to see PhDs as a source of growth. We think with the right kind of support, it's not only an issue of 100 to get to 100. There are other blockages in the system that we are dealing with, for example, supervisory capacity, PhD. So we're looking at even, for example, we send people for masters and PhD training all over the world as well. We need to look at it. We've been very successful in affecting world-class scientists in South Africa through the research here program, etc. They have PhDs, they can promote PhDs, and we are it. I think it's an achievement that we would be able to celebrate the 100 we really get 100 PhDs, which is discussed in the beginning. Those are some of the research awarded grants again. As you can see, all graphs, the trajectory, and I deserve the success of this trajectory upward. And if we have to do 5 more years to get us to 2019, we will have to see those bars go even further. Next slide. In terms of research output, which is a common measure of how successful we are, if we look at the number of research papers that you produce. The blue bar graph basically indicates the number. That's the number of papers that you can focus on. And as you can see, it's significant. We doubled in the last 4 years. What is interesting is also the red line. So the red line basically indicates what is our percentage of publications as a percentage of the share of all knowledge that is generated in the world. And as you can see, it was below 0.6 in 1990, we're now at 0.7. It's not as amazing as it is, but from one point, because you should remember in this decade and a half, countries like China, etc., significantly enhanced the only people that we expected. We are small player in the global space, but we know that China is aiming for anything. Interesting with the statistics which you haven't shown here is that in some areas our research is globally competitive. We have a high citation rate for some of our research work compared to globally in the environmental sciences, in the medical sciences, which is basically an indication of how effective our research is, how globally competitive our research is. One more research is also being done in partnerships with other countries, which is also not easy because research is in other parts of the world wants to work with. Not something you can force on, it's something that if you keep even more communications with global players and being recognized there. Just some highlights, really, these are highlights, you know, I think that the members indicate that, you know, from the beginning time, we have 2 hours to just highlight some of the things. But obviously, people will go through our things and then our annual reporting data. This is to give you a flavor of some of the areas of work by illustrating highlights. For example, on energy exploitation, we have something called the Solar Extension Initiative. And this is because Sciatica is one of the few countries in the world that has developed the scientific and other capabilities to work with a chemical called fluorine. There's not many countries in the world, it's about 10 or 12. And fluorine was a very important precursor to our nuclear industry, but out of this, we were able to make a work with the solar chemicals. So what the solar chemicals might mean, it's a unique chemical, it's highly reactive, so you can't manage it to blow up in a sense, so I would say it's useful. But because it's highly reactive, it can combine the things very effectively and it becomes very useful for us. So solar chemicals are, and I don't think anyone has woken up today and hasn't encountered solar chemicals in their world, whether it's toothpaste that you use or the coating for fine paint that don't stick, it's a fluoropolymer polymer to IGTs, your screens on your computers, in order to get some of those processes that you need to be based on. So it's a very important chemical, and we have the capability around it. We have new products that are potential, and what we have to do to exploit our ability to not just develop new solar chemical products, but to be able to take those new solar chemical products to market, we needed to set up what we call a market focus formulation plan. We've now completed the market focus formulation plan in NECA, and with it, we will be able to produce solar chemicals that we can give to overseas buyers, other buyers, and then be able to see whether we can produce the kind of chemical that we need. So it's quite an important project. It's taken many years. The development of the Solar Extension Initiative has been going on for more than 12 years. Because it's not something that happens overnight. You need to stick with the areas for a long, long time. We have an ICT, so that's the flavor of one type of project. We have similar kinds of projects in two types. Another example of the kind of work that we do in terms of exploiting knowledge is to look at how ICTs are used in education. So we have the Kosambaba Technology for Rural Education and Development Program in partnership with DBE and the Department of Rural Development and General Reform and Cape Provincial Government. And we're doing things on a large scale. It's easy to take it into one project, but if you want to integrate ICT in a, at a district level, you need to think about, you know, how are the computers going to be charged, server coming, breakdown, activity, etc. So what we do is we have what we call large-scale demonstration projects, where we try to learn what would it take to integrate the knowledge? How would you deal with each other developing the organization? And that's been quite a successful project, but again, it's not something where we would claim that, you know, without suddenly increasing our actions, because the world doesn't work that way. But this the way of the future is to look at more and more how ICTs are used in the education. Next slide. Research infrastructure, the government mentioned this, we set up a national record of all systems to capture, store, and manage human knowledge. The DSA has had a very strong focus on indigenous knowledge. We have a formalized indigenous knowledge strategy. We've been investing for the past decade and a half since the DSA has been here around using indigenous knowledge to create products and services. And I'm happy to report, and hopefully some members who participate in the budget votes, you can see the exhibition. There's always exhibitions on things that we have matured to the point now where they're ready to enter into the market. And it's not just like someone said, mambo jumbo science. These are products that have been tried and tested and passed off the food process. But in order to capitalize on our business model, we need a way to capture that. And that's why the national record is important. With this, we have documentation centers that we have issued. So again, these are recent developments that come from a back of a long-term investment. And this is going to help really take our initiatives to manage work from that side. Next slide. In terms of infrastructure, we funded the development of titanium primary carbon class, again, a world-class nanotechnology development clean room at MINTEC, you know, and there's a number of other interventions that we have. anything, most of these are what we would put into the term that they're not research in first much, they're innovation in first much, helping us capitalize on the opportunities. We completed and launched the near condition. We launched the dish care, that's the base foundation, and over the next couple of years, the transition will certainly not be in the case. First, when we're finding out. And that's significant. We're already doing very, very important science just on the small, so as we move on, we'll be able to really build on this. We've made an annual investment of about $400 million in research community investment, etc. So this is too numerous to mention, really broadband, which is maximum, the $400 million is from microscopes to the university. The good thing about this is that we find ways of making sure that that expected equipment is not only used by one. They are available for the entire national system of innovation. So we made a big investment in site infrastructure, and this is the architect's way of the world. We set up something called the Sarasin Research and Education Network, high-speed connectivity, and it now even allows us to send big data overseas and to log on to big data from other countries. We've launched the National Bioeconomy Strategy, which was adopted by the Commission in 2013. The Bioeconomy Strategy, we're very excited about, it's very crystallized our previous investments in the past, and we're focusing on three big areas: crop agriculture, industry, very clearly defined projects, a process of very specific outcomes in all of those areas to contribute to food security to better health. So that is something to keep your eye on as we think about. We've also, I think that the ICT area is important. Globally, every country set up an ICT research and development capability. The trick is to find out which are the areas that you need to be focusing on, because you can't focus on anything else. So what the 10-year roadmap has done is it's identified clinically very specific areas that make them part. So that's where we have something that is demanded, and we begin to roll it out. So for example, we have a very strong emphasis on our own requirements, ICT for education, ICT for health, ICT for economy is part of that. Again, this has been adopted a year and a half ago, and it runs up to the next 10 years, and as we develop these ramp up investment on bioeconomy and ICT. Okay, just getting off with, again, to give the flavor, these are some of our kind of performance indicators, and these are just across different programs, to support promoting application development and translation of scientific research to commercial products, looking at new technology innovation products, which is the area that I mentioned here, next slide. Skills development is important for the number of postgraduate students producing key strategic areas. This is six postgraduates in areas like technology and we had highlighted earlier that we are able to be quite effective in the international environment. We have a specific indicator on the amount of foreign science and technology innovation funds that we able to secure from international partners. Our target is to get to about $355 million this year. And this is from other researchers, but even, for example, foundations like the Gates Foundation. To increase the participation of scientists in the international UNICEF for development opportunities, and people for the foreign information UNICEF for development opportunities, something that in fact, if you look at the amount that we spend, quite a significant chunk of our budget to spend on this through the NRF is to produce the development of a representative high-level human capital cohort able to pursue locally relevant, globally competitive research. We look at 11,400. And as you can see, the previous years we raised about 10,000. So we also need to see that, and this gives you some breakdown by different types of students or education. In terms of getting our research work into publications, we're looking at 5,700 ISI accredited research articles by NRA funded researchers. So this is not a project, this is through the funding provided to the BAC. Next slide. Then there's a very specific area we're looking at important, and that is the green economy. We need to develop high-level graduates, masters, and PhDs in areas that will take us forward in these areas, and we need to recover on masters and doctoral students funded in this. And then the last one is that we fund a number of what we call innovation instruments that support industry, etc. And each of these and each of these is to illustrate one of the new instruments that we've introduced is something called a sector innovation fund. The EAS government provides funding together with the private sector in order to look at how we can address science, technology, and innovation blockages that is affecting the competitiveness of the sector. For example, in forestry, we work in forestry by EPSCA to look at the genomics research, biotechnology research, etc. To strengthen the competitiveness of our policy sector. We're looking at other instruments. There's just one instrument, we have other instruments, for example, technology stations that are in the university that provide support to small and medium enterprises very specifically, because the small and medium enterprises is not invested to have the support. The budget, that's how our budget looks. Compared to other government departments, it's relatively small, modest. Our budget for the current financial year is for 6.4 billion rand, and then it grows to 7.5 and 7.6. This includes investment in the script on the array. Broken down by the different programs, you'll see that the biggest chunk of our money goes to the program called Research Development and Support, which is about half of our budget goes to that. And that is the funding that goes primarily to the NRS for bursary, for supporting the research shape, for supporting the centers of excellence, etc. Because it's a big focus of ours. We want to get that 1,200 PhDs in the population. The next big amount is under the program that I manage for socioeconomic innovation partnership, but that includes those amounts includes the funding that is provided to the CSR and the HSRC as an example, to raise so almost 800 million rand goes to the CSR. Each of those agencies for that amount of money present their portfolio committee who are responsible for giving their interest and all that. The next biggest program is technology innovation, that's about a billion, which includes the technology innovation agency, our international cooperation and resources, relatively small. I mean, as you can see, our administration costs we keep it to below 8% of total. So 92% of the department funding goes to the system for research facilities, improving the infrastructure, etc. We always spend 8% to manage our just some highlights of our entities. Academy of Science gets 21 million. Like I said, the Council of Scientific and Industrial Research gets 20 million, 800 from the budget, and then some other parts as well. The Human Science Research Council gets about 270,000. And then NRS gets the lion's share for its 2 billion rand. South African Sansa, about 150 million rand. So this will grow, obviously, because Sansa is very new. TIA also has a small amount, 18 million rand, but it needs to grow. As the institution, both Sansa and TIA are fairly new institutions, so they need to get systems in place in order to those are the VA projections. This is the rest of the presentation. Okay, so just to end off, the way forward is there's a second slide that should say way forward one and then way forward two. Maybe the next one. So in terms of our key priorities, there's a broad list that's just to share. We need to continue to support successful programs such as the research share and the excellence. These have shown that they work, the systems are in place, they just need to be formed. We need to build and learn from our experience on how to commercialize ideas from R&D. And we're quite positive that over the next 5 years we will see a lot more economic impact by arising of our previous investments. We need to send the effort to grow the next generation of researchers and ongoing problems. Research is age, and if we don't continue to renew, we can go backwards and improve suicide. There are internal operation issues that we are working on improving. We know that GST goes significantly in terms of things like the MPS, the management performance, the setting to the culture, the department of home, the nurse, the having problems in terms of our audit, etc. To retain those and to take them out to the next step. Very importantly, we need to communicate the GST's work and achievements that we've always been told this is not being done effectively, and the acceleration programs to really take out, whether it's TV, robots, presentations, portfolio, etc., engaging the communities through outreach programs, where we need to take it out and so on. We need to strengthen our partnerships with industry and other government partners, and then importantly for a committee that has raised from provincial basis, have highlighted this, we work with the provinces and with some of the scholars who do that to improve their own systems of innovation. So we support feasibility studies with science farms, we help to set up Asian innovation forums, so we're working with setting up the provinces, it depends on which of the provinces that want to work with that. And then I had an article today that shows, you know, it's the case of interesting development that happened on the NMU, where the players are working very closely together, in Northern Cape, in Western Cape, and we're working on science arts like. So we have a portfolio that is a presentation on its own, it's not the work we can do with provinces. It's not part of our funding, we don't have a lot of funding for this. We see this group funding to assist, but we do this in touch. I have a good thank you, and I see this is a simple thing to try because I've been working in trouble the last time with the different languages and the things not correct. But yeah, thank you for your time. Sorry to take you the same thanks.
Thank you for the presentation. I think for me it was very, very important. Coming out of a generation of DBT, I think I'm in the right space now to learn about this new way of doing things. And I think younger people, me and Honorable Lava Stafni maybe, and Honorable Safaru, a lot to put in to learn about the new environment that we are in. Thank you very much. And I'm going to hand over immediately to the committee to ask questions. I do have some questions, but for me it's important that my members must ask the questions first. Thank you. I will give the opportunity to Honorable Smith. Hi.
But
Yambi. Matango.
Okay.
In that form. Order. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. As I said, very, very informative. My question is on the department role or function in terms of developing science at school level already. How is the department involved? It's a bit silence in terms of previous presentation on that. And I think that's where the course of if you want to get graduates to actually achieve that. In terms of science labs, you know, especially on the rural schools and support, you know. How does the department have to guard that specific issue? Then this is a bit of a more open question, is where does the department feel it needs more funding? Where does the department feel it has got a gap that it actually wants to develop more on? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Hai.
Thank you, Honorable the issue of the basic education project always in the reports is about the law and some hopes that is there. But also in the way forward now department is going to be partnering hydrology with the rest of the presentations only in the last months on the way forward. But also I see that one project in Sosimbawa that the ICT that belongs as a pilot project. But the presentation I didn't say how do you go forward to roll out to other areas. Also, the other general question, at that stage, the department was involved, I think, in the research for the manifestor and also the TRICAR. Can we get a page with regard to that? The other question I would like to have on the missions that the department is involved in technology is that, with regard to diseases, what sort of research is the department involved in establishing the effect that with regard to HIV and AIDS now is a standard dose that has been developed for HIV and AIDS. But is there any research in other diseases such as, for example, cancer? The other issue is that the HPV might contend that some of the HPVs are not so we do not have baseline, so that we are able to say when we have a gene target, what the achievement appears to. For instance, there's something about the fixed contrast, you know, students that are going to be produced. We don't have a baseline, what has been happening in the past. But also, with regard to the highlight in terms of the achievement, one is that you could also have an international competency that this is what is happening in terms of the achievement that you reach. That, for example, the issue of knowledge generation, not really that the one on the human health development, the process to define. This is a situation internationally, so that they were able to compare. We have that on the issue of the PhD in terms of the international conference, and I'm here to do that. But I hope you could do the same also the knowledge generation, the research output, so that we have that international conference. The other issue for me is the funding, particularly in universities. I wanted to find out whether there are any service level happening to these universities or just because I know there's an amount of about 400 euros that the department is giving to the universities. Are there any service level happening to that? This is the outcome that they are expecting in the department. But also, yeah, in the service level argument could also indicate so that they're not duplicating one university at that all doing the same thing. But we must be able to say, first we must ask that for this area of the first, and then the another university do something else. The area that I think we did not catch on in terms of the presentation of the operation service area, I wanted to reach check for instance the organogram. It has indicated in terms of the problem community whether the DDG is a female or a male, so that we have a picture, whether the department of blood with a lot of the country. Now, some departments in their strategic plans, they will give a picture of the amount, so that they are able to see that these are the members of
thank you, Member Khan. Member Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. Let me join and welcome the presentation. Indicate to My question is, I want to be very smart. DJ, when we're doing the introduction, all of us, if you may have listened, we say we're indicating the problem is where I'm coming from. And it says, in the absence of the information, the session cancel it. And we're dealing with the development of science and technology. It can be very innovative. In the presentation that has been given to all of us, because we're coming from this problem, there was no way for you to put in the past the last sentence of the presentation. And that's very important. When you're talking about sending information and information systems, including life path development, in one of the presentations you're going to have, well, he said, I simply want you to conclude that you thought you are going to the portfolio committee and you realize there is the next committee, people that are presenting interest of provinces, so you have to put it, because that's what we are asking. And in future, if you can be able, even your entities that you have, to have a slide that will indicate the impact of all your entities in all these problems, so that when we do the oversight, let's approach to the people, we go there and we appreciate all the good things that we are doing, we criticize constructively where we have to criticize, so that we must not just criticize on the sake of it. And it was good. Because if you check the management performance assessment tool, your department was ranked the best out of all national departments. And it's something that you can use as a model to assist other departments. But how do you do that if we don't have the information? So that is why I'm saying the slide that will take us so that we can get all the other problems. The issue of the indigenous knowledge system is in six problems. I've already indicated that there is an interest of problem. What happened in housing, in Umala, where I'm coming from, and not the case. Respond to that so that we can have a sense, because if we don't have information, we can have our own views about it. The very same one of the ICT pilot project. Why Kokema? Why not Matari and I indicated the same? Why not Muti in Umala? Why not Sikuku in the Bogu? Where are they going to have that opportunity? The other one is about the human capital development graph. Because you are talking about people. It means if you have people, you can indicate the names of those people. But I'm not interested in the name. It might not be today, but will help the select community. It will minimize a lot of questions on our part. We can have a slide that will have a breakdown in terms of provinces to see how provinces are able to the different areas that they are and how are they making use of that opportunity that they offer in the department. The other one is the one of that was raised by AG that they have to tighten your internal control system. It's a challenge in the department, even if it's ranked among the how are you going to deal with that one? The issue of MDP, it has identified science and technology as some of the key drivers of economic change. I thought you would deal with the issue of consultation. These are the bargain credits. I'm one person who is not subscribing to this thing of implementation with due respect. When they will say if you are less than 10%, it means you are at the correct, required, accepted standard. But I'm still of the view that you can't have a department that will perform at its optimal level if you still have a problem of participating. Because who's doing that? And how do you deal with this issue of making sure that they will reduce spending when it comes to consulting? And it's clear from the strategy plan that it's going to increase. And it's increasing because we are dealing with the scarcity, of course, we understand.
But how building that to the back end of it, so that when we decide and we give credit, we have that information. Otherwise, it's a very good presentation comment, and we are looking forward to taking a study tour to some of these entities so that we can see out of a very informed position and be able to work with you moving forward.
Thank you,
sorry, Chair. I wanted to indicate that if one or two of us might be leaving, it would be not our committee's respect, but they would be getting the responses. Well, we are aware, you might not be aware that we are the former chief whip of the National Council of Provinces. So they might identify some people to go to the family in the clearance district. So it will be hard at the end of the family of my day in Rwanda.
Thank you, Mr. Nandi. Member, another question?
Thank you, Chair. I also want to thank the Minister and the Department for a clear and very important discussion. I just want to raise a few questions. How is the Department, what is the Department's contribution and how do you contribute in the Green Economy Partnership through the Research Economic Innovation Partnership program? Then on the human capital development, the first graduate student that is showed their question is the department, does the department have a system of tracking the students whether they're not enough in the field and if they are continue and they're still involved in the field expertise, in the area of expertise. Otherwise you just reduce them and nothing happens often. And the same kind of question on the knowledge generation researchers awarded grants. Does the department have records of how many of these research results or reports are being utilized in this department or in other departments or by any other organization? I still want the same thing research asked, that the percentage of capital reports recognized nationally on the continent internationally on forms seminars and conferences. Otherwise, it's just a number of input and health impact of the features. Then, I've been already asked the ICT conference in this case for the reason why. I would like to know what the time frame for this pilot project and if the department would be also make that report not only available to the department of that is the basically there, but also to this committee. And then on policy development, the National Bioeconomic Strategy, the 49 of the NEP, the roadmap for natural biological resources into commercial products in health, agriculture, and the industry. My question is there and what is the type of alignment between our department, specifically the Department of the Environment, who has a big focus on biodiversity and conservation? If you read, if you don't read carefully, then it seems as if there is a crash and you should have a balance in that. I would like to know the National Bioeconomic Strategy, the Seminars in Concession Plan. Obviously, it's very good to have seniors in Concession Plan. That department also have the estimate fiscal or budget coupled to that. Is it possible to do that? And then I also want to refer to the question of everything in the first between 2038.5, the annual targets is very good. It doesn't matter the right line of that, and then I want to further say, for instance, some of those things are 60 or 60, which provinces, which provinces are going to be left out, because we run provinces, so when that part of some provinces is in the back of in any case. Then the bottom is the budget to go to the National Research Foundation, even in the whole GDP series, the reason for that. If the committee may not start at that stage, we get a breakdown of the project that the foundation needs to be.
Thank you, Honorable Alada Kutakmi. Honorable Masango.
Most of the questions are all about my colleagues.
for one of the pieces of testing that they have, is that finding the best choice, how is that objective going to be made, or is that sort of very something already within the budget of the department, or is it I think that's no the reason behind depending on the funding from
Thank you very much. Honorable King?
Thank you, Madam. Yes, as you would like to say thank you to the department and give you news the department for the information that you presented this morning. What I'd like to ask, and I think most of the questions I've got for time here have already asked them, highlight. As a department, highlight where most of the vacancy posts in the department exist. And also, we are the senior advisors of skills on national and the last question, and what measures are being put in place to keep the vacancy rate low so they don't continue to employ or have consultants in the market.
Over to the department to answer the question. Thank you. And on that note, I think the member is going to go to our three of our members, four of our members. It's going to leave now for our other commitment. You will get the information about the answers, and I'm sorry, Deputy Minister, because for me so very much interesting this idea. It's really the atmosphere, like, well, you want to sit here the whole day and listen to all these things and taking in and asking questions, but unfortunately we are other people and we have other commitments to do. So thank you for coming and honor this committee. So important that you came here as a deputy minister as well. Thank you very much. And we look forward to have some insight information, assisting by you to put in our program for our next our next programming, quarterly programming, so that we can understand, like the other member was saying, where we want to go, because for me to understand, I'm the kind of person that takes something in. Not opinion, but to go and see and understand. So that if you are talking about whatever, I must have the inside knowledge to understand and to talk about these things and ask questions. Thank you very much. Can I call on Honourable Sir Fargo to come and say over for me? Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Sir.
I'm not sure if I'm
not sure. Okay.
But I think it's
going
to be on behalf of all of us. But I want to thank you for respecting that in view of the fact that you are quite busy, but you decided to come and start here before you attend to our community. That's what I appreciate. I want to tell you that this happens, and for me specifically, I respect you and I respect the role that you have played. Because you have a constitutional obligation of playing your role. And all the future and to ensure that the money that is allocated to this country is spent in the manner that is going to be transparent and ensure that the people of the ground do benefit from it. And I think we have commitment to the government to ensure that we use that work. And I want to thank the members who have acknowledged that the department, I said to the Controller of Internet, when I came into the segment, I was scared. But I found out that the segment is full of people, the perception of people who want to do things against us. It is not a police size segment. They are doing their job. They are beautiful. That is why we have this record of unhandled bodies that is really condemning the segment and all the national segments. But I think you should be proud as members of the election committee that you are attached to this segment. I think we commit ourselves that we continue to deliver and also be able to have the financial conflict with the government. But I think I wanted to make one or two comments with regards to the project. Why are we doing projects in one province, one other province? That question is very relevant from me as a responsible member for different provinces. But you will understand that the department, this is one department that does not have department, not a department at provincial level. It is the only department that is there, and we have only all these agencies that are able to actually ensure that the work is done there. But we do not have relevant departments in all provinces. Because mainly, the department is also in terms of the tools. We have been debating this since I came here. Because I do not understand why I'm failing to help, especially our lecturers from rural communities who do not have funds to go to university.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you failing to do that?
Yeah.
But then there is a department of faith
education.
There is a department of higher education. It is not our responsibility to go down to school, but our mandate is to do assist the postgraduate students. That is the reason that we are not in the
university.
The acting director will be answering the questions and also other senior ministers will be able to assist him to answer all the questions that you have raised. But thank you very much. I just thank you before you leave.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
I'll try to answer as much as I can, and I'll be assisted by all of the police in this department.
Can we have the answers, the questions that others are inviting you to ask, something that I'm using to ask you?
Maybe before you continue, let me also thank you once more for taking scientific and technological evolution very, very seriously. As it is affecting humanity, nature, and thought. We proceed with response to questions that has been asked, and also request that question that has been asked, there shall also be some response in writing. Thank you. And the department will continue.
Thank you, Chair. And I hope some of the answers will also now reference things like our strategic planning and planning because the detail is in some of those documents and as I think time goes by, members will get more familiar with those documents. So we will take a signal and see what we can put down in writing and just to go through in our time and I'll give a chance and anyone else can just in terms of the basic education. I think the minister has in fact very much an effective feedback to you. But just to give you a comparison, because you are at the provincial level, the current budget is something like 7 billion rand. The basic education budget is something like 204 billion. So that's the difference with the limited funding that we really can't do this. So we do work in very close partnership with people. We have something like the National Science Week that's coming up. In Harijan, because we work with, they have a very formalized bilateral, and I'm glad that the minister highlighted to the officials that she wants to continue this. under the former administration, the former deputy minister, then he minister, used to meet deputy minister Susie on a regular basis. And we used to work on things jointly. So when it comes to science level, math academies, we would work very closely in order to implement them. Coming back as an example, it's not a project we're doing on our own. It's a project that we're working with the Department of Basic Education, the ICT Education Unit, because what they want to do is integrate what comes out of their project into their project. So as far as our mandate is concerned, we are working in the education space, but it's just by giving you a sense of the numbers of our 7 billion versus 200 billion rand, you can see where it becomes more difficult to do much more than we are currently doing. So that, I hope that it addressed the kind of what you're doing in the school today. And a big program that we are implementing is the development of what we call science centers. I think 34 was the number mentioned. Again, working very closely with people in Cape Town, people familiar with MTN science centers. It's very important. We're now setting up one in Cape Town as part of this common project in that area. And looking at ways that we should make these science centers most effective. But it needs to happen at this school. Maybe we see a little more funding. This is a bit of a difficult question because I have to now look at the department as a whole. So my colleagues don't excuse me of saying you're funding your program. But in a sense, we need funding across the street. If you look internationally, where you need to play, as an example, the ICT or the bioeconomy, if you don't invest adequately, sometimes it's not worth it. If South Africa invests as much as sometimes one big company invests, we met IBM many times, they employ 3,000 PhDs in mathematics, much more than we have in the UK. So if we need to be investing, we need to do it across the street, invest in more human capital development. There's limits here, because it's not about faculty, it's just putting funding. If you put as much money in, but if you don't have to provide the students, you're not able to. You're not able to sustain. So I would argue for a much more broader-based strategy than just in funding. We have a bioeconomy strategy. If the cost comes from us, we have a sense of what it's got. We will be working on the detailed implementation plan, but we will be able to meet the cost. The ICT one, we've costed it. We need 9 billion rand over the next 10 years in the same. Doesn't mean it comes from government, it might come from the private sector. So we have these different cases where there's on our robotics, on our space program, on bioeconomy, on minerals beneficiation. We do have cost estimates. And future programs are underfunded, and we would need to take that up collectively. If we come push comes to shove and say, okay, we can get you another billion rand, where would you be there? We have well established mechanisms in the DSC to be able to tell us where best to put an additional billion rand. It might not go into one thing, it might go into a few things. I don't think there are I'm talking about the basic education, the rural areas, why I'm talking about, in a sense, I think the deputy minister highlighted this, our role is to do demonstrations, but we can't do demonstrations in many places, you just take choosing your capability. So Kompaba, our role is in partnership with DVE, so we really need to go to, we need a rural area that was focused. The Eastern Cape Department of Education was keen at the time, so that's our partnership point. But I could quite easily generate lists because we have a person based here in Cape Town who's quite well accomplished in innovation work. They can generate the list by problem of the project. Because we might not have an indigenous knowledge center in all six provinces, but we might have something else in another province. So as an example, we have Concrete Technology for Sustainable Libraries projects in the Northern Cape, Mulanga, as an example. We're working with the historically black universities in a sense. Very specific set up what we call risk and vulnerability assessment centers. It's a very targeted initiative, mainly focused on those. So it depends on the nature of the project we would want to do it. But if we want to generate statistics, which NRS can do around our human capital development, they'll be able to pick up whether students are being supported. It's on a competitive basis. Students apply to universities and they get the best, etc. So I acknowledge that it's important and maybe we haven't done enough to package our work in terms of what the provinces, but we have projects in all of the provinces. We're working with all of the provinces in one way or the other. The it's not the same thing, but we're working in one way or the other with the provinces. The minister highlighted that all people understand that we don't have provincial things, and that it's not in our system of government to say only the DSP that funds scientific work. Provinces on their own, other government departments do fund scientific technology. And we now need a new report, which hopefully, you know, we need to run it for a year or two before we get good results. But we now begin to ask provinces what are they spending on research and development for the first time. We've been doing this with mentioned economy. So we'll be able to indicate what our provincial government is spending on R&D and what that is spending on as an example. So I hope I've addressed a number of questions that people have. I leave the electric car and other diseases that we're focusing on in those members left, it's really much more things to work on how I leave that to DBG Bonemi, who would be able to address that. The baseline, I've been asked, we need to address it, but we do have baselines in our actual annual performance set up. We need to put it on the slide, so there are baselines for it. Maybe we want to highlight it from there. Then college universities, there was a question about this. We have an SLA with universities. There are two ways that we fund universities. One is either the NRS funds the universities, and NRS is a well-established grant-making agency. They have contracts and everything. They have a database they can track and trace anything that they do that. And then we have projects where we fund the universities directly, and all of those projects are governed by agreements, not even SLAs, because it's by agreement, which sets out very clearly what you need to deliver on, and if people don't deliver, we take it up. So we have quite a strong processes of managing these funding of these institutions. Now, the government equity target, I'm not too sure if you will be able to respond to this, DDG equipment last year, but we represented them in terms of race, in terms of the SMS level. Our lead challenge was a woman, and this was prioritized in the last 2 years. And at the moment, I think the latest available figures is that 48% of senior managers in the department that is directed in about are women, as compared to 52%. It's fluctuates because, you know, we're dealing with a cohort of about 60 people, that's the SMS level, and it's two or three people who really change the system. But we fluctuate around almost equal to 50, and then in terms of race, it's very different. From a provincial perspective, it's also all the provinces that come. Just in my session, I was able to speak to people about things that we did at any and cultural discussion. So I really have those representative departments and we get the real the very provincial work, and I think part of what we do is late engagement with the select committee is develop a kind of register we can outline. It's not difficult to do because we have a sense of being able to say, we love the stuff that we do. And if any member feels that they need information about their province or responsibility, and they'll form a letter in the same time, and we'll be able to contact the information. So that's not a problem. Because it's in our interest. If you know of the work we're doing, you'll be able to take this up with the future. We'll also be able to indicate whether we're doing this project on our own, or we work very closely with the provincial government. I've addressed IKS, I've addressed why Coffin Barber is based on worldwide. I think I've addressed rollout of Coffin Barber. And our responsibility is not rollout. I don't think we would, the time frame for Coffin Barber is for 2 years, etc. And once we have developed the project, our interest is to generate the learning from that demonstration and to feed that into the final based institution. Because we really don't have the money to roll out the kind of Coffin Barber initiative. And it doesn't really need us to roll out. I think as an example, we have started 2 billion rents to do exactly what we're doing in Coffin Barber. We're now working with Gauteng to share what we learn, because our interest is very much to roll out. Just in case we know that besides Coffin Barber, I'm doing something. KZN has been working in this area, working in KZN. So the professional education funders are taking on this board, and we hope that they will be able to draw on our experience in order to make the implementation work. The AC graph for visual distribution, like I said, we can create these from NRS databases. We acknowledge the need to spread the internal controls, and maybe someone wants to address that. We're doing this, we have well-functioning internal audit control. something like internal control, contamination, changing something, something of the workers, changing something, and as part of the reason that wherever we start things coming from an internal audit or our enterprise risk management committee, as an exco, we note those and we identify corrective action. Vacancy rate, I would like to address the superconsultants and vacancy rate. Again, BG McQuillan and myself, who is near my place, so they were correcting. But from what I remember in the presentation to the PC, our vacancy rate over the last year, every month it changes because people leave and join, etc. But it has never exceeded 8%. And that's our target, to 8%. It's impossible to keep it to 0% because people always leave. So between keeping it 8% and having a system in place to fill vacancies within 4 months, we manage to make sure that the kind of performance of the department is not compromised. So we see those two measures, I think that's the I don't think we reduce it. In terms of whether we're using consultants to do what internal work, this is something that I think it would be important to the select committee to understand. Where we use consultancy funding, and I can give an indication of my program. Most of our consultancy funding is used, in fact, all of it, where it doesn't make sense to do that thing internally. As an example, we have to reduce some of our freight with some of our agencies. We need to review the strategy. It doesn't help us to go back to the CSR to say, do this work for our behalf. It doesn't help us. So we put together a panel of experts who do this because they have specialist knowledge. And you can never replicate that internally. So lots of our funding in consultancy is used for this, is for things that it doesn't make sense to have internal strategy. Like if you're developing, as we are, developing a system for the R&D testing systems, doesn't make sense. You send it out, but part of the consultancy contract is that they need to go internally. So I'm quite confident, just looking at my own portal with other communities, that we don't use consultancy to fill a gap. Terms of our fund. We use consultancy when it's important for us to do the work internally. Either because it's a short-term exercise that you need to do, you need specialist knowledge, or it's a kind of a review of our strategy. I think there was lots of questions about system of tracking. We don't have a detailed system of tracking. We can track at the project level, so I can tell you with the sort of chemical detection initiative, how much of the for saving for chemicals, but we are now working with the NRX to develop a tracking system over a large number of people to do that. Whether research results are being used, applications being used, we do have other measures. And sometimes it means using a consultant. There's an agency called Thomson Reuters as an example. The global player, they actually study qualifications and they look at very interesting ways of working out whether your research is useful or not. We have to draw on those reports in a sense to tell us whether it's so. Data because for publications to track by paper, you need to track at a kind of a global level whether your papers are used. Some papers will never have an impact. They don't gain much knowledge, and we entirely accept that because that's how the world develops. On the biodiversity bioeconomy, again, we'll be able to get it as well. And then the reason why the bulk of our funding goes to the NRF is because some of our big programs, the NRF does what we call equipment grants, and that's a big amount, which and it's open competitive score. The universities apply, and then it goes to a really quick process of adjudication. They have external people, not even the NRF people, or the DSP people, so it's really fair there. We don't even have a say that we have to choose that to the share. It goes through peer review, etc., and then the selection is made. So the research program is a big amount of our funding, and inversely support. The 11,000 students that we want to support, if you think about it, 100,000 students, and you add up the numbers. That's the reason why the bulk goes to them. And then international funding, the question is why are we wanting international funding? Firstly, we have an international section, and there needs to be some indicators that help them to focus their efforts. So it's not only money, it's also academics. But money is a good proxy for whether our research is globally competitive. So the amount that you see there is because there are established products that we have. I mean, a good example which many was previously with DDG for international resources will tell you, there's a program in Europe called, that was called previously Framework Program 7. And this is where Europeans have to scrub together money to do joint research. But they open it up to countries other than the others. And we've been one of the first most successful countries. And in our success rate is equivalent to Russia and the USA in terms of volume. So now they have a new program which is called Horizon 2020, and they double the amount of money in their fund. And in fact, they want to double or triple how much goes to the country. So it's an opportunity for us. And it's not only about money, it's about being part of those research networks, because you just get access to knowledge much, much, much more powerful. A big emphasis on international funding is what we call foundation funding. I've just come back from Seattle, the AIDS Foundation. We have a partnership with them on sanitation, we have a partnership with them on health, and they invest in funding into our research. So there's an opportunity. So we should leverage those opportunities as well. And then where are most of the vacant funds in this fund? I can't answer explicitly the individual team, but in my vision there's only two vacancy policies. And one has been a long-standing vacancy. We had two candidates who were both declining the offer, so they found something else, and we're just appointing funds to fill the equal inspection. So each of them you keep a very close watch on a vacancy rate. As soon as vacancy arrives, we advertise 4 months later, we start to get funding. So it's across the board. Suddenly there's one single specialization. But in my section, someone in human settlement minister is deputy director. Because otherwise everything is fully started at this point. I don't remember the last coming from another members team. No good comments, so I had a certain So I've addressed some of the ideas. The green economy work is quite new at this point in time. The kind of work that we're doing at this point in time is, if you think of the green economy, a big part of the green economy is new energy. And we have a big program on new energy, which is under Bonnet's program, where we're looking at not only energy from a green economy perspective, we're also looking at it in terms of access. But under that, we have a big program in renewable energy and fuel cells. So that's one part of it. So we support people development, technology development, etc. Under my program, because energy is separate, our focus is on two additional areas, in fact three, of the green economy. One is waste, the second is water, and the third is what we call environmental monitoring, knowledge to monitor the health of the environment. We started with water and waste, we're now developing a roadmap like we have with ICT, which will say exactly where it is that we need to invest in waste and water. The waste and water technology roadmaps are almost complete. They should be ready in the next month or two. So what we then do is once we have the roadmap, we fund people, because we need to put the density, we fund technology development, and we fund the exploitation of the technology. And that goes for all the areas, so the space of bioeconomy or green economy, the same model. People, knowledge, technology, exploitation.
Thank you. 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 Came up in our last meeting when we invested in the whole country. And I think that it was really important that we get this practice and be able to provide for the resource that will be in such a heavy thing, the actual number of people that have to come. And not only are they able to help our people from the community disadvantaged community, but that is
what's going on. I think we'll take the guidance and see how we can generate this.
at a high level, the percentage of people who do have the statistics, I just recently read a report on our technology of 100, which is not, now we don't develop as masters and PhDs, we provide education and opportunities to work in internship programs, and all of the internship programs do like 90% absorption. In fact, I was quite impressed with the statistics, the number of people who stay in the company that they were intern at. So, but we have knowledge, but I think we'll take the guidance and the truth, you know, then we will be able to start providing statistics at quite a high level on how many people are being retained as researchers. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to stay 100%, because some people just may not want to stay as researchers. And it doesn't matter even if you're a PhD. But obviously, if you only retain 10%, then it's a real problem. But we need to look at global benchmarks and how many does it make sense. I know it's a question of the DG specifically, and they have to do this. It's quite complex, and it does require the introduction of some information systems, and it does require some investment to be able to track. But we have prioritized it already, we've been asking the same questions there. So we have to put it to our own intelligence system.
But then I
think
the question to the minister to talk to the director.
Thank you so much. According to a couple of questions that have been raised, I suppose, and I'll follow you. I'm going to answer some questions regarding the fund, where we want them to be, because the budget line that shows that, of course, some of the institutions are very new, so providing the funding that goes forward, they need to expand the function to be able to support the Chinese and the council. The question regarding the what sort of diseases are also focused for our research. We've got research focusing on all sorts of diseases, because when they're going on the malaria effect, there was an announcement of a drug company that was developed, which is the first to be developed in this continent, which is now in clinical trial, so this is where in malaria. We also have a lot of work also in the area of chemical research. Why we do is also to know that the biggest challenge that faces the country is the area of HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis. So there's a lot of work and efforts and individuals that are in most cases much better have come from this area, However, we have also realized that there is a financial challenge coming that is very fast to be pursued. In the one of those pandemic portions. And this is the issue of the metabolism diseases and cardiovascular disease, your heart, your pressure, your sugar. And we also have a lot of interest in that particular area. Advanced speaking, actually has some of the treatments around sugar medications which are volunteering outside. So we do have also focus. I don't correspond to the question of international comparison to the number of our performance. DG Patel mentioned the fact that the amount of top five and the top success rate with regard to the one and the global research program, which is the leading research program. Now, when you look at the countries that we compare, India, China, and the United States of America, and Russia, when you do the comparison, they are just comparing the numbers. But when you look at the numbers of researchers we have and the numbers of researchers we have, it puts us as one of the most, one of the countries which have one of the highest scientific productivity, because the output that we produce per number of researchers we have quite high. So that also puts us very high in terms of the contribution made to the area of our technology, even when you compare us to the other countries. There was a question regarding the IAS digital center in provinces, why the provinces were left out. If you look on the side of funds that we discussed, 6 provinces and 3 are left out. The two reasons for that. One of them being that it basically leads to, because when you have these infrastructures, you want the best to somebody who's going to take care of them. So there are many needs to higher education institutions in those provinces, and we all know that the only institution that we have in the Kumara province is not even a year old, same for Northern Cape. So, and then for how then, we do not still have an institution that is actively involved in indigenous knowledge. So therefore, our current is for it. However, the plan is to extend to the Kumara province using some of the neighboring institutions. Delay has been part of the need for additional funding. With regards to borrowing communities, one of the things that we pride ourselves on when it comes to borrowing communities is that we have worked very closely in developing the strategy in other government departments. The one that we should see that we work very closely with the Department of Agriculture, environment, the training industry. So all those have been working with the cause. When it comes to implementation, one of the emphasis by the minister and by the community will have our work is mainly so that development is not having the title to be the way it will provide. But these are government departments who then have to take all the implementation. So if there is a successful drive that is determined is working, we are going to need our department of help to I respond to the question regarding the driver. Rather than a much bigger program that needs beyond just the car, not around the challenge we have, but we do not actually have a South African car, which would have made it much easier for us to go on that. However, the technology that has gone into the car, like the perception, those particular competencies are now part of our hydrogen energy work around the basis for the challenge at the University of the Western Cape. We are now in the process of testing those technologies in some of the golf cars and golf partners from international global partners who are interested in that technology. So that's why the electric vehicle might not be seeing the roads. Technology that has gone into it is now being developed and is definitely being utilized in other areas. The issue of the wearables, which DDG Patel also responded to, one of the things we call in terms of the energy for the country that we need, how do we integrate solar into this? Now we have worked with the Department of Energy and the Department of Weather Services to map out the visualization as to where in South Africa the best place to deploy the solar plants. The outcome of that studies have been actually used in some of the plants that are now being constructed in the Western Cape. So we have been quite involved there. We also are having projects in the area of power squares, which we are now encouraging in terms of upgrading from lab work. We've gotten very exciting results in terms of the quality of the codes that we're able to get from some of our software solutions. So those are basically my responses to the question, and I intend to be reminded by the next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your honorable Deputy Minister. Let me find out from the honorable member if perhaps there is any question that you would like to. Is there anything left out you're happy? Without any other input, any other question, then let's express our very, very happiness to this progressive input by the department. We hope
in provinces where our provinces are more rural, the technology is indeed going to assist. Where I'm sitting, yeah, I'm thinking of as we sharpen the technological knowledge in science, we're coming up with some instruments that will be able to accurately phrase and test when human beings accept in the value of the earth, such as those that are working in the mines. Or also working with the securities. When a person, human being, is trapped under the house, a method, a system, an instrument that will be sharp enough to say, in this world, there are still so many human beings that are set and indicate as to which corner those rebels can they be rescued to save life. We will, as I've indicated, request some of these responses or resources to be made available to the select committee secretary. I don't think I'm choosing, because they are also going to assist to support their project in the need. So it would be highly appreciated if that can be brought to the Secretary's attention. Maybe we'll go see that. We thank you very much. We can enter this for excuse. The Deputy Minister in the Heading Trust, I don't know whether there is still an announcement, maybe from the Secretary. Without any announcement, without any further announcement, the meeting of the Select Committee is adjourned. Thank you very much.
I think it's a good thing.